Credo, we're going to hear the very beginning because it's an important form-building element. He repeats this particular little motto ahead of the Credo exactly three times, once for each of the persons of the Trinity, once for God the Father, once for the Lord Jesus Christ, and once for the Holy Ghost. And it starts on a four chord. It's not a pure play of games. There is a little five in between the four and the one, but the four is the prominent chord in the passage. Here it is, just the first eight minutes. This is the only passage I know in the work that is really an attempt to be in that style. If that really were its attempt, it doesn't succeed. I don't think anybody would mistake the passage you're about to hear for Palestrina, but I don't think anybody would mistake it for anything else Beethoven ever wrote either. It's sui generis. It's a very, very special passage which one hears nowhere else. And the usual imitative style, once the soloists take it, they bounce it back and forth. We'll end the excerpt with the very beginning of the next segment of the text when the tenor leads the chorus. We're not going to have the chorus enter, just the tenor lead on Et homo factus est and was made man. And you probably noticed that flute solo. The flute solo represents the dove, which is the way the Holy Spirit is often depicted in Renaissance art, in pictures of the conception of Jesus, Beethoven including that lovely touch. Well, this is followed by an even bigger set of fugues than in the Gloria with the subject. And life, and the permanent life to come. People who knew Beethoven indicated that he was interested and concerned about the life to come, and at times believed it, and at times doubted it. And the fugues here seem to represent a kind of struggle, on the one hand, between life and death, especially the second fugue, which is very, very fast and furious, and perhaps on another level between belief and doubt. We're going to pick up the amens at the, after the fugue is over and the music has gotten to a slower tempo, simply to deal with the question, how does one say amen to such a enormous body of text involving so many different things? And we have a little bit of the same matters. Most of it is very calm and quiet, but there is one outburst when the chorus just sings as loud as it can and as short as it can the words amen, amen, on the tonic major chord in B flat. And again, the issue is raised, is this the strongest affirmation of belief, or is it an attempt, a desperate attempt to throw away doubt? I think it can be interpreted either way. Okay, here is the closing passage of the Credo. That's what it all hangs on. That's what it depends on.